Okay, I want to welcome everybody to our Wednesday evening Bible study. We are in Genesis chapter 2. I am going to back up a little bit back to 1, starting in verse 26, because it will help as we get into chapter 2 explain a few things. So, chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us, notice the word us, make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And by the way, I want to stop there and correct something that I said 2 weeks ago when it was mentioned about the dinosaurs. And I said that they were created on day five. It was not day five. It would have been day six. Day six is where you have the creeping things, the beasts of the earth. Day five was sea creatures. So there are technically dinosaurs that live in the sea. They're not really called dinosaurs, but they kind of lump them in with dinosaurs. They would have been created on day five, but then the land dinosaurs would have been created on day six. Getting back to the text, verse 29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Now notice that. He says, to you it shall be for food. So we have man that has been created. This is before the fall. But he's saying that even though had they not sinned, they could have continued to live, they still need food. They need food to live. Now, I'm not sure that it's that way with angels, right? I think that angels were created eternal beings, probably don't even need food. But humans do need food to continue to survive. This little point there. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. So at this point in time, there weren't any meat eaters at all, no carnivores. All of them were herbivores, eating plants. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And again, if evolution were true, you know, you see animals killing other animals, eating other animals, the strong survive. You see thorns and thistles in the fossil record, and you see all these things. If evolution were true, God wouldn't say, this is very good. He wouldn't be looking at all this death and destruction and say it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And moving right into chapter 2. Then the heavens and the earth and all the host of them, meaning the stars, the universe, were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. So he set a pattern for us. It's clear he used six 24-hour days, and he rested on the seventh day. He could have done it in 6 seconds, but he was setting a pattern for us. And I think it's important for us to realize that if our work requires us to be active on Sunday or whatever, you need to at least take one day off every 7 days. I think the body works a lot better that way, and too many people never give their body rest. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Now, understand that Moses wrote this. Okay, well, obviously Moses wasn't around. He wasn't an eyewitness. So Moses got these accounts that were written down and handed down. And also it would have been handed down through somebody in Noah's family, or perhaps it was Noah that kept these accounts and got them to Moses. And what you see when you read this, so we've already read about mankind being created male and female already. But now we're going to go back and look in detail about it. So where it says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, God himself may have written this. In other words, chapter 1 was probably written by God himself. And then some of these other passages were written by Adam. And then later on, there were passages written by Adam's sons and so forth. And Moses collected these and went through. And what you're going to see when you read this is little inserts that Moses puts in there for his reader to understand. And I'll show you what I mean when we get there.
So you don't think that when Moses did come along and he's, you know, now he's all grown up, that God didn't inspire him to write this here?
Well, if you look, there are things that actually says this is the account. And it doesn't say necessarily who wrote it, but so this is the account. And this is not all my idea. This is what a lot of scholars think, is that he actually was given this. You're right. It could have happened.
Because it says we're there in the New Testament where that
it was inspired. It was inspired by the people that wrote it, and then he just got the thing.
Okay.
So it was still inspired by them. He's just getting the documents to.
Okay.
So he's saying, okay, this is how it happened. Then he says, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So he's saying, before any of this other stuff happened, this was what the conditions were like. And so he says, before any plant of field in the earth and any herb had grown.
Well, then I'm confused, because if you go back to chapter...
It's very confusing.
Verse 11, it said, of course, now I'm going to read mine different. I'm going to read a little bit different.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Then it said, God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed bearing plant, mm-hmm. trees that grow and seed. You know, so what? I don't get that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He gives a general thing, and then he goes back and he explains it better. He expands on it. We're going to see that more and more. Just like he says here, he made mankind, male and female. Mm-hmm. Then he goes back in chapter 2 and explains how he did it specifically.
Okay, so that's what he's doing.
So he says, and the Lord God formed man. Now he's going back and saying, this is the second time he's talking about making man.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. This is how he did it. Mm-hmm. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, also notice, now there are some people that believe that there was no rain at all until the flood came, that they didn't know what rain was. Because here it said a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. It may have been some kind of a weird system that we don't have today, where water came up from the ground and then came down. Okay. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food. Again, notice they were going to need food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, this next section, I think, is an insert that Moses stuck in there because, well, I'll show you why. It says, now a river went out of Eden to water the garden. Now, that's interesting. This river is somehow able to water the garden. Perhaps river, an underground spring, perhaps the rivers back then were able to, I don't know, bubble up or something, or had a spray of some kind that was able to water. We don't know what the conditions were, but he says the river was able to water it. And then he says, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah. Now, there was no Havilah back when this was happening. There wasn't places with names at all. So Moses is saying to his readers, hundreds, thousands, you know, 1,000 years later at least, by the way, he said, this river is, you know, it goes over here to the Havilah. He's explaining where they were, and he's using terms that these people would know. That's how we know this is an insert from Moses, because back when this was actually happening, there was no name of this place. There was no, so he's explaining this. And then he says, where there is gold. Like, you know, that place where there's gold. He's telling people that are reading this. And the gold of that land is good. bdellium and the onyx stone are there. So these are all editorial comments. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. Again, he's using names that were later, that came later on. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, or Hiddekel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. Again, there was no Assyria. There was no name Assyria when this first happened. The fourth river is the Euphrates, which that's the only one we really think of that, I mean, there's a Euphrates River today, okay? So again, that would be an insert. Moses is catching people up, the readers of his day. Now remember, the flood came about 1,500 years or so after creation, and then Moses probably came about another 500 to 600 years at least, and probably more than that, close to 1,000 years after the flood. So we're talking about a good length of time. He says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to keep, to tend and to keep it. So he was going to have to need to do some kind of maintenance on it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, there's a couple things to realize here. He didn't say anything about touching it. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. But that's later on, we're going to find out in chapter 3 that Eve said that.
Let me ask you a question here. Now, this is a footnote, and we know we don't always go by this.
Right.
but it does give me something to think about.
Sure.
So there up in verse 9, it said, he placed the tree of life and the tree of good knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
He placed it in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
My footnote says, the name of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil implies that evil had already occurred, if not in the garden, then at the time of Satan's fall.
Well, Satan had already rebelled. We know that. So, there was evil. I agree with that. Another point that I want to make here is he says that they were able to eat of every tree of the garden you may freely eat except that one. And he got that part right.
Okay, I wondered.
But that includes the tree of life. So there's no reason to believe they weren't eating of the tree of life.
Yes.
During that time. Okay? There's no reason to believe they weren't eating of that tree of life.
But there was already evil, not yet the faith.
Yeah. No, not their evil, right. Evil existed in the form of Satan.
Right, so that's why that tree was there.
Yes.
Right?
Mm, I agree with that.
I just want to make sure.
I agree with that. I don't have any problem with that at all.
Okay.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Now, don't believe here. Don't let this fool you. Adam wasn't formed before these other animals. We already know from the previous chapter that they were made there on day 6. And then it says he made man. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 25, it says, and God made the beast of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to his kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to his kind, and God saw it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image. So these animals had already been made, but he's just bringing them before him so he can name them.
Mm-hmm.
And as he brought them before him to name, they were looking to see if any of these animals could be a companion. Of course, they weren't. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. This was the first anesthesia right here, okay? He is literally going to open him up. And so he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Now, it's interesting. As far as I know, and I've heard this before, and I've looked it up, the rib is the only part of our body that can regenerate itself. It can, if you injure a rib or whatever, or take a part of a rib, it will regenerate itself.
I thought your liver could too.
Possibly, I don't know about the liver, but that's what I was told. But at any rate, this is, as far as, maybe it was bones. Maybe I was thinking maybe bone. Maybe the only bone that will do that. Yeah. But I think that's very interesting that that's what he chose. It says...
Well, it's got one more rib than what we got, too.
Okay. No. Huh? No.
Oh, I thought they did.
I've heard that before. That
God took one of Adam's ribs.
No.
And put it in the woman.
No. Oh. No. He didn't lose a rib. The rib was would have grown back. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And he didn't know it at the time, but she was getting ready to eat him out of house and home.
Oh, brother.
I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there.
I always mess everything up.
Did you get that?
You didn't get that?
I didn't either.
I didn't hear it either.
I heard it, but I didn't.
You were out of house and home.
Okay. All right. Here's another insert. Here's another insert. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So this is Moses saying, okay, because of this, this is why we have our tradition of marriage. You know, this is why we have this. This is why a man would leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. This is the beginning of that, because of the creation of Eve. And then it says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were very natural that way. They didn't have anything to be ashamed about at all. They had not sinned. They had never felt guilt. They were perfectly built. They had all the food they wanted. And again, they were freely consuming of the river of life. And the reason I say that, and I'll probably bring this up again, is that after they sinned... Well, let's just go to it really good. Chapter 3, verse 22. Chapter 3, 22. "Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever."
Which he could, yeah.
So, I used to read that and I was thinking, so if they ate from that tree of life like one time, they're going to live forever. But that's not what that means. Obviously, they've been eating from the tree of life. There was no restriction on that. What he's saying is, if we leave them in the garden, they'll continue to eat from the tree of life and they'll live forever in a sinful condition, which would be terrible, you know. And so that was why. And the neat thing is, in Revelation, as you well know, the tree of life reappears. Mm-hmm. It's in the New Jerusalem.
And that's you and I talked about. That the tree of life, where the
it's for the healing of the nations.
Yes, and where the people that are born in the
millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll need.
They'll be like Adam and Eve was in the garden.
And they'll need sustenance. They'll need food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very interesting
so
stuff.
So, when God set this up, Adam and Eve would have had to continue to eat from that tree to continue living.
Yeah, I think so. And the other trees too, but that tree of life was a special tree. Again, in Revelation, we find out that extends, that people will continue to live on the millennial kingdom as long as they continue to consume it. And the tree of life in Revelation is very large and has all kinds of different, has like 12 different kinds of fruits on it and all these things for their sustenance. And it's just very interesting because, like I say, I used to think they ate from it once, they would have to live forever, but there was nothing to keep them from eating it up until the time they sinned. So it can't be that. It has to be the continued use, eating of the tree. As long as they continue to eat, they'll live forever.
And that's how they'll live. That's how they'll live.
That's why they were cast out. That's why they were cast out.
They couldn't keep eating them.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And then when the... Well, when the people that are living on earth, there'll be people living here on earth, right, Pastor, if I got this right.
Yeah.
And that's how they will continue to live and never die from that tree of life.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll be in natural bodies like Adam and Eve.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing. It really is. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this chapter. There's a lot here that has been revealed to us, and we just pray as we continue on in this study that we'll be able to understand it so much better. In Jesus' name, amen.